for us. And I remember her name. If she walked up and smacked me in the face, I wouldn't know her today, but I remember her name. Her name was Reba. And Reba would babysit. One day we were taken as elementary school students across the street to the big old high school down here, junior high, and we did a home economics class. And when I saw Reba in that group, it was the neatest thing. I know her. Do you understand, young people? There are little kids who say, I know him. I know her. And man, when you walk in, they're excited to see you, and they'll do whatever you tell them to do. They'll go, they'll play, and they just, man, if you'll take some time, but I'm busy. Read on. He says, whoever receives one such little one in my name receives me. Well, I don't have time for children. You don't have time for Jesus. I don't have time to get out of class. You don't have time for Jesus. And he says in verse 6, he says, but whosoever shall offend, the word for offend here is the word scandal, or scandalize. Greek word scandal, and we get the word scandal. It literally means to put a stumbling block before their feet. The word literally was connected with the movable stick or trigger of a trap. You have an opportunity to draw them near, or you can't do not, it's not mutually, I mean, these are mutually exclusive things. You can't not do one. You're either doing one or the other. You're either receiving them or you're being a trigger of a trap because you're showing them they don't matter. Now, when I was young, they used to say something all the time, and you'll totally remember this. Children are to be seen and what? Not heard. Today, our families are listening to the children. Where are we going to go to church, Mom or son? Where are we going, honey? Where do you want to go to church?
Well, I have a good friend who goes down here. Okay, let's go.
They're asking the kid. Where do we want to go to church? And the parents aren't thinking, well, it should be right, should be the truth, should be God's word, should have a solid foundation, it should be knowing the word of God. They're saying, well, you want to go to church? I mean, I just don't want to fight. I just don't want to fight. I just don't want a scene or an episode. Isn't that true? The world is out of control. But those kids, they know, and they're unsettled. Yesterday, when I was out handing out these flyers down here in this neighborhood, there was a little girl riding her bike. She's probably about 8 years old, lovely little girl, just riding her bike, just the sweetest pie. I drove up there, I talked to her parents, and I said, Mom home, yeah. I said, well, I'm going to go in, can you go get her for me? And she went in and got her, and I talked to them, and I said, we got this thing going on Sunday night. I said, it's going to meet for Awana, it's great. And I told her all about it. After I had left, I have hope that they may come eventually, you know, because they were open to it. That little girl was still riding her bike, and when I was going out, she was watching me. She's still saying hi. Beloved, I don't care what you do all week. There's nothing like that. And those kids, when I would play ball with my long hair, wasn't converted, they'd come around. When I got my hair cut and I was walking with God and I was looking a little bit more like God was doing a miracle in my life, the kids still came. What's amazing to me is we were out yesterday on one of the most beautiful days of the year. Beautiful. Not hardly any kids outside. Backyards of these people butting up to each other. Everybody had one of those wooden jungle gym things. Not one kid on one of them, but they all had one. Every backyard. Go down and look down. There's one. They're the exact same thing. Why don't they just all get on the same one and have a little fun? Well, I'm over here playing. I got mine. We're teaching our kids, aren't we? And we're teaching them what we think of church. I want to just say a little added boy, added girl to, which is Tracy's in the nursery right now, but she brings her child to Wednesday night. And her little girl, Rachel, how old is she, Jeremy? 3 years old, sits there, and we give her a coloring book. And she colors while we sing with the guitar, nice warm environment, open the floor for praises, and everybody's sharing. And little Rachel sits there. Sometimes she'll sleep on Mama's lap. That's fine. That's fine. What am I saying? I'm saying we can be parents, but we also can be mentors. He says, if you receive one of these, then you receive me. And if you offend, if you become a trigger in a trap that says, this is what Christian life looks like, and then they read the Bible and find out, that's not what it was. That's not what Mom and Dad did. See, discipleship has never changed. We have changed. We have drifted. Christianity doesn't mean that much to us today. We think like the world thinks. We don't want to bear a cross. We don't want to live a life. And we certainly don't want to give a life. He says, don't be one who offends, because if you're one who offends, it would be better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and then cast him down into the deepest sea. Now, in my mind, I see him talking to disciples here. He's not talking to a crowd of people who are rabble-rousers. So, in one sense, I have to put this in his context and ask myself, well, what would that be like? Have you ever been caught red-handed in a humiliation? What do you feel like? Sinking. Oh. How about when Jesus comes and he looks at you? And your life flashes before your eyes and his too. And you or I see him cry. Because we didn't care. Because we took the children for granted and we scandalized them. Because we said, this is what Christianity looks like, this is what it looks like, this is what it looks like. And they're looking and saying, really? Well, I don't think I want any of that. Do you know the Christian is the most awesome creature on earth? If we're truly born again, we have been enrobed in righteous robes of Jesus. And for many Christians in our day, we're just struggling to get out of this house. There's nobody on earth. They notice we be again. Not like today, when we stand before our King and we see eternity in all of its splendor. And He has looked out. Because we wouldn't please him. He says in verse 7, woe to the world because offenses must come, for it must needs be that offenses come. The one and the man by whom the offense comes. You see, offense, 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 a scandal, scandal, scandal. You want to know what the scandal is? He tells us. Verse 8, if your hand or your foot offend you, cut them off. Actually, the word is not there for a thee. If it offends you, it's not there. The V is not there. It's in the next verse, but it's not here. It's actually, if your hand or your foot offends, cut them off. Better to go into eternity, maybe. You know what he's saying? He's saying if your hand offends, that means you're saying in your mind, I've got something else to do. If your foot offends, that's you saying, I've got somewhere else to be. Folks, this is in context of little children. It's in context of obedience. It's in context of living for Jesus. It's in context, I got somewhere else to be. I got something else to do. He says, it's better to enter into life maimed than to enter into hellfire. And he uses hellfire and the everlasting fire in both these verses. And you know what he's saying? That there's a very close relationship to being converted and having a disposition of a little child. Why? Because a true convert hears what I'm saying this morning and knows it's true. You may not be living it, but in your heart you know it's true and you want to step up. But some of us are saying, well, I've prayed a prayer, I've been baptized, I've been in church, I gave money, I do my part. Here I am. And not converted. Because there's no pang that, you know, discipleship really is real today. He says, if you offend, woe be unto you. If your hand offends, I got something else to do. If your foot offends, I got somewhere else to be. You see, if that doesn't register in accord in our hearts, I like what Mark said. I think we were talking about this. And he said something along, not about this particular thing, but about the idea of why people don't do church anymore. Mark said, you know, I just want to see what more we can get. That's what God puts in us. And if it's not in there, except to be converted, and except you become as a child, discipline, if there's none of that, don't pat yourself on the back because you have to go back to the foot of the cross and say, does that mean anything? We're all going to die. I'm getting older, man. My hair's getting grayer. I took some pictures lately and it's getting gone, too. I'm becoming a face. What? Needed a little comic relief about right now. Go ahead. Laugh it up. Idea? True. We're getting older. Guess what? I'm going to die. I'm more aware of that more than now. I've got an empty nest in my home. And I don't know what the next stage, in between, you know. And you will too. But I know this. When I stand before him, I want him to look at me and I don't want him to weep. I don't want him to cry. and I don't want him to cry with me, because that's what it will be. He won't be crying alone. He'll be sinking down, and wish we would have a millstone passed on him. You see, the fact is, as he says, if you offend, if you offend, if you offend, he says your hand and your foot, and what he says your eye in the next chapter, in the next verse. Verse 9 says, and if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. Why? Because the eye is where you look down on somebody. He says, and if you look on down in the passage, he says in the next few verses, he says in verse 10, he says, take heed that you despise not. And that's where the eye comes in, because despise literally means to look down upon children. Well, they're not important. Do you know what amazes me? We've been here 5 years, and we have very few children in certain segments of our church, like the third grade, fourth grade, and fifth grade. We have one family that brings their children to church at that age group, and we have very few in the primary and the junior departments. They're just kind of small. But they're here, and they're people ready to teach a Bible story. And the only reason that they're not here is because maybe there's an entertainment situation here or whatever, but the fact is, it's all about us parents, isn't it? Now, if the parents don't bring them, I think there are kids in our neighborhood that just might come if you pray about those children in your neighborhood and say, you know what, I've got two extra seats in my car, I can bring them to Sunday school. Oh, wait a minute, I'm not in Sunday school. Oh, I need to be in. And I think those kids would come because I'm a nice person. I have loving eyes. I will give those kids cookies and I will make nice with their parents and I will love those kids and I will show them. Why? Because I don't want to offend. Because I don't want to be one who doesn't receive them or to look down on them. The evil eye, the Bible says one of the seven things God hates is an evil eye. You know what that is? Because we hate that they walk on our petunia. We hate that they ride their bike over our lawn. We hate they're always cutting through. Beloved, Jesus would never hate that. Jesus would say, I'm so glad they're so close, maybe I could turn the music up and they'd hear about Jesus through songs, and I'd make sure it was a kid's music, not this rock and roll stuff we got going. Something that would draw them in. You see, this is a boot camp of sorts. This is the outpost of God, and we come together and we say, what is it we're doing? Well, it's a rescue mission. Children are going to hell, and we have a choice. We can stay inside the tent and just sit here and play some cards, or we can get out and look outside the tent, see if there's a kid down the road, and bring him to church. He says in verse 10, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you, and here's the three things he says, be careful of, don't look down on them. Why? Well, first of all, because their angels are beholding the face of God day and night. Now, angels behold, they have the idea of perception. They don't only behold the face of God, but they see what God sees. They see what's in his face in the sense that he wants people saved. And if you offend, if you stumble, if you trip up, and they have to go back and report to the Father, because seraphim are burning when they come and do his will constantly, and they go before him and back and forth, these angels, which are mighty, so mighty that when anybody saw them in the Bible, they fell on their faces. These are angels! And they're looking at the kids! And we're looking at them and saying, get out of my way. Why are those bikes always in the driveway? Can't those kids get those silly skates out of the road? What's that all about? And we despise them. And it's not hatefulness. It's just looked down upon them. It's just, I guess wherever you go, there are just going to be kids. And you could say, man, this kid's everywhere. You could blame them. He says, because of their angels. Now, the angels are the ones that are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who shall be heirs of life. That's you. And he says in another place that if we deny the Father or deny Jesus before men, he'll deny us before the Father. That doesn't mean you're lost. It just means you won't have any protection. Don't you want those angels protecting you? Then love what they love, watch for what they watch, cooperate with the kingdom, and look at them like God looks at them. There is an empty slate. There is an open heart. There is an easy smile and a willingness that is only found elsewhere in Jesus himself. Jesus has that open audacity of love. Kids have it. He says not only that, he says, take heed that you don't despise them, for I say to you about their angels, but he says in verse 11, he says, for the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. The word for lost here is very interesting because it literally is the word phanao, and it means wandering. He has come to say what wanders. You know, children naturally wander. But you know what's really interesting about a wanderer? Is that when the kids come here, they're given a recommendation, and they just fall right in line. Okay, it's time to change. And they go to the next area. Okay, it's time to go to the next area. You have one, because all kids have a sin nature, but recommendation, they love it. They love it. They love the breakneck speed and the pinpoint accuracy. We can get the kids, is what I'm trying to say. He says, this is what Jesus came for. And he's got kids in mind. For the Son came to save what was lost. But what about the Father? Look at verse 12 and 13. He talks about the sheep, one going astray. And he says, in verse 13, he says, if he finds the one that went astray, he rejoices more over that one. One child. When we had all those kids coming out the backyard clubs over in August, do you realize how awesome that is? We're just a little church. We had almost as many kids in town on backyard clubs that week as we had in church service the week after. 50 kids. He says that just the one. And we had several decisions. I think there were 11 kids trusted Jesus that week. And you know what I'm saying? They're going to heaven now! Woo-hoo! And he says that this sheep thing, this wandering thing, it applies to the children. They're just going to wander. They're just going to occupy. And many times they occupy with mischief. I'm driving down the road the other day, and this kid in our neighborhood started bolting. It was right at dusk. You can barely see, you know, that weird time of the day. He bolted at the road, and he stopped right at his fence. I caught him right when he was, but he did it on purpose to scare me. They will occupy, even if it's a mission. But if we give them something good, he says not only the angels in the sun, but look what it says in verse 14, even so it is not the will of your Father. Your Father, that one of these little ones should perish. Let your eye fall down to chapter 19. I want you to see. These disciples didn't have a clue about what Jesus was really getting across to them. And I hope you don't get this same disposition. Look at verse 13. He says, then were brought to him little children that he would put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. And he's saying the same thing in the same passage, in the same line of fire here, as Matthew records it for us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Verse 14, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. You want to know what heaven's going to be like? Go watch a group of kids playing. And that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be having a blissful time of joy and blessing and open audacity, and we will not be afraid of our Father. We will be in the light. We will be home. Let's not be the ones who are afraid. He says, this is going to be really great, and there's my carrot for you this morning. You can be great. You can be great by being converted first and foremost, and you can be great by being conscientious after you're converted. He cares about those kids in your neighborhood or in your family that maybe live about 2 blocks away or 2 miles away or 5 miles away that you could go drive here tonight at 5:40. You could fill your back seat. You say, gas prices. That's something else to do with my hands. And somewhere else to be, my feet. Beloved, go get a cab. Don't let them go to hell. Don't offend. Don't be a traitor. Be one who receives them, because in receiving them, you receive Jesus. Could you bow with me, son?